Best Ford of Nashua, our President's Day sale is going on now. Get F-150s with discounts up to 16 grand off MSRP. You heard right. Not 10 or 12 grand. We're talking 16 grand off MSRP. Looking for a Ford-certified pre-owned truck or SUV? Nobody sells more Ford Blue Advantage vehicles in New England than Best Ford. We're number one for a reason. Remember, the best will sell first. See us today at TheBestFord.com.
Go to www.bestfording.com/special-event-disclosures for full details.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on over there? Fire?
How you doing, Stanky Lane?
What's up, man?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
I'm Leo.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow, bow, bow.
Go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow, bow, bow.
Won't dig, but yeah.
Hey, you fired up?
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
I'm a nice man. Yeah, I'm a nice man.
You are a dick. You, ha. You have dick tendencies.
I sleep on a recliner.
Exhausted.
My name is Bach Chabelle.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Touch Room Rich Radio Program. Northern Town Fair Tire Studios. It's Rich's last day on television. It's Rich's last day here in Brighton.
Yep. It is a depressing place now. Walking these halls, everything's gone.
Ghost town.
No, it looks like the Overlook Hotel. It's just, now it's time to go. It's like you ever moved out of a house and you think you're going to miss it, and then when you see what the walls look like with all the furniture gone and all the crap that was in there, it's just like, guys, it's time to get out of here.
I don't know. I drove to Dorchester yesterday. I'd be perfectly happy to stay there for a long time.
Although you had a nice news from MapQuest. It would say cut off, 15, 20 minutes of what you thought the drive was going to be?
I mean, it gets a little more difficult as the day goes on.
Mm-hmm.
I know. But coming back was a lot easier than getting there. They had me kind of in a circuitous route going there, but coming back was a little bit more reasonable.
Which is probably going to be the opposite of how it is going to be in real life. Because in the morning, no one's on the road, but I don't care what time of day it is after, 7 a.m.? Yeah. South of the city is a nightmare.
Well, I got to see the Franklin Park Zoo.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Huh.
Got to see the zoo.
So your commute goes by the zoo?
Yep.
Okay. Wow. I can see that.
Down to the Arbor Way.
Yep.
And then over there to Route 9.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently they're taking the Globe and they are making into residential place 4,000 units.
Well, that's an Assembly Square then. Then it's going to be gigantic. That's going to be like what's happening in Somerville with the movie theater. I mean, if you have 4,000, mm-hmm. how many condo buildings is that? That's got to be like 4 or 5, right?
Well, they're taking the Globe. They're not demolishing it. They're taking the physical Globe building.
Oh, they're building it inside the Globe?
Yes.
See, that's kind of cool. That's right.
It's going to be 4,000 units.
Okay. Wow. I mean, that's enormous.
And a car dealer bought the television station next to the radio station, and he bought it for a very little amount of money and then sold it for $19 million. He just sat on it.
The old WB of one that was there?
Whatever the hell was
Channel
there.
Channel 56. Yeah.
So the hope is, because Beasley would like to own a building, the hope is that everything gets so ridiculous around there that whoever owns the building buys it, sells it, and then we can move to a reasonable place.
Then we move again. We're going to move to Hull.
Don't say that. Nothing wrong with Hull. But
still, I'm just trying to think of a place where the commute would be the absolute worst. Oh, which is South Attleboro.
Well, it's funny. Perfect. I'm like talking to guys in sales, and I'm like, yeah, this commute kind of sucks. And they're like, oh, it knocked a half an hour off my commute. And you're like, oh, yeah? And they're like, yeah, I used to have a two-hour commute.
Yeah.
Like, who's buying a house 2 hours away?
No, here's what's going to happen is that, guys, we got some good news for you. Since you are the station of the Patriots, you're broadcasting from Foxborough.
No, the idea that I was told is that they would build it, like, west of the city.
Oh,
yeah.
Money. ZLX used to be
like,
in the Pru.
I like where their head's at. Yeah, I like that.
ZLX was in the Pru. Like, I mean, that's a fairly high rent. Mm-hmm. Area to have a radio station.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that probably didn't suck. Dan, did you work at BCN when it was next to Fenway?
I did not. I interviewed there. I did not work there. They were moving here at the time.
Yeah, I can't think of a nightmare getting in and out of that place during Red Sox.
Yeah,
it was awful.
Because only like four or five people had parking spots. That's it.
Yeah, people hated that.
Yeah, okay, let's say that you were somebody who worked, like you're the Adam Jones's shift. And you had to find a place to park. I mean, I got to think that they gave that guy a spot. They had to, or he would never be able to make it to work.
Okay. Yeah, when Bradley J was doing nights on BCN, they said, just we'll give you a spot. Yeah. No, he took a bike or he took the train.
Oh, jeez, man.
Yeah. That was apparently not good. Apparently that was not good. But there you go. They were working round the clock, 15-hour days.
Mm-hmm.
To get that thing together, and you guys will be there on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. It's been a long time since I've talked to that many people at work. Like, I stopped by yesterday just to kind of see how everything was going.
Everyone's very welcoming.
It's just like, you're here, we don't see human beings. We walk in the door, we walk into the studio, and the only real people that we see are from the Zolak and Bertrand show, and then we leave right out the door that's right here.
Yep.
Like, there, I was saying this yesterday, when you walk up the stairs to go to where all the radio stations are, like, we're front and center. We are the centerpiece. We are the fish tank. And everyone is walking by, and if you're talking to someone, 14 people will walk by and jump in on the conversation, and it's like it's kind of exhausting. I'm not used to that. I was there for 2 hours yesterday, and I thought I was just going to be there for maybe 20 minutes to check out.
I was
out
there for 20 minutes.
Yeah, I was there for 2 hours. 2 hours.
Why?
Because everyone kept stopping and talking to me, and I'm not going to be rude. And to be quite honest, I like talking to these people. Like, they're all very nice people and people I like and people we work with, but you just realize how much different it is than the just like claustrophobia and the solitude of being here at 83 Birmingham.
Yeah, well, it's going to be odd. There's no question about that. 13 years of coming to one building.
Mm-hmm.
The same studio for 13 years.
With one major change. It looks different.
Moved into the closet for a couple of months and then back in here.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
But for 13 years, I've been in this studio, and now that's done. And now Franklin Park Zoo, here I come every day.
Mm-hmm.
Cruising around the Franklin Park Zoo.
Mm-hmm.
Adding about 20 minutes to the old commuter route.
Yep.
That's about how it goes there. So that is the situation.
We do have a window, though. We do have windows.
Yeah, we have two windows.
Them.
Two windows.
So
they were very clear to tell me they're taking the film off the windows.
Mm-hmm. Natural light.
That's right. I asked the same question.
Oh, I didn't ask. They just told me.
It doesn't help. I mean, if you lift the blackout chains, it doesn't help if we can't see out into the parking lot. So, please take the film off the window. So there will be a little bit of natural light. There'll be lots of light from the maze that is that station. And there we will be.
A lot of characters working at that building.
Yes, I heard.
Which is nice. I met several of them. It's like you walked into an episode of The Office.
Okay.
You're like, all right, I'm going to like these people. Did you meet anybody who just works at the building? Fred?
They get the front?
All over the place.
Characters?
Oh, yeah. Like out of a movie.
A
lot of personality.
I don't know if I met any characters.
I met a few people that I found out about after I had left. I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh, no. You walked in there with knowledge.
I didn't walk in there with knowledge.
No, I walked in and like some guy just came up and started talking to me. And I'm like, all right.
Oh, okay.
Let's get it on.
That was a different experience.
Oh,
okay,
here we go.
Had. Okay.
Having fun.
Yep.
I was like looking around like, is anybody can explain this? This is interesting.
I didn't get that.
Yeah.
The person was acting like they had known you for a long time.
No, it was like meeting Adolfo for the first time. It was just like something where like I'm always going to remember this moment.
Oh.
Oh, no, right. I didn't mean anything.
I didn't get that.
Okay.
I didn't get that.
Okay, all right.
No, I'm interested to see.
But Rich, you're a magnet for that kind of thing.
I'm
so.
Not even going to tell you, and there's a couple people that are kind of like that, but I'm not even going to tell you. It's just you guys are going to come up to me one day and go, "Yep, Rich, I know. Now I understand."
Okay. Well, there you go. That is our story, and it is Rich's last day on television.
Yes, yes, yes.
And Joshua Fowler has been, this is his last day doing the television
right.
show.
He's been our producer, for the head producer, for 3 years since we've been on, since the beginning of our contract to now.
I dined at his home last Sunday.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You too, not invited.
No.
I dined.
We know where his priorities lie.
That's right.
Yep.
And, we will miss Josh Fowler. He did a bang up job for us. Well, I'm thinking about it, and then tomorrow we can thank everyone else that filled in or that helped out on the show. But this is Rich's last day in television, so get in there and look at him as much as you can.
I dressed for the occasion, obviously, but the one thing that we are going to say over and over and over again, because we have people calling in, and it's like making it sound like it's a funeral, like, I can't believe you guys are going off TV. I'll just say it for the 15th time, and I'll say it 15 more times this morning. The 98.5 Sports Hub app. It's the same show. It's right there. You got it. Download it, and you can hear everything that you were listening to when you had us on the television. So yeah, that's where
like,
you find it.
And it's not like the television was some, you know, tour de force of visual stimulation. I mean, you're not missing out. But I mean, it's a radio program. You're not missing out on anything by listening to it. In fact, you could argue that the experience is much better listening to it.
Yeah, and our show is podcast every day. So if for some reason you wake up late, you can listen to the exact same show a little bit later on.
Right. So everyone, go ahead and do that. All right, Rich, what is coming up with last night?
All right. Dan Shaughnessy shaking the people down in the Red Sox locker room yesterday. He had a one-on-one with David Price that is fantastic.
All right, David Price, always a prick.
We all have our morning routine.
The kids ain't going to learn nothing.
Thanks for making Toucher and Rich part of yours.
That's right, baby.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okie dokie, let's go.
Recapping what you missed with Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night?
Oh, Richie, Rich. What happened last evening in the world of sports?
Well, it's just not fair that people have to face Chris Sale.
Two down. Here's the 2-2. Yep. What a plunger. 98 miles an hour. The 12th strikeout of the night. What a capper.
What a pleasure. That's a strange call, Dave O'Brien.
What a capper. That's Eckersley's ode to the prophylactic.
Yes, that's how it is. He's like,
what a
my
capper.
Goodness.
He should have said tip of the cap.
Or maybe I don't think he uses rubbers. Maybe that was like the third chick from that evening. I'll tell you what, you're the capper.
You're the capper. That's number three.
That's right.
Well, that is Nesson, and Chris Sale may not start the All-Star game, but last night he sure made one hell of a last impression for that decision. In the Red Sox 4-2 win against the Rangers, he was lights out. Struck out 12 in 7 shutout innings, and he was reaching 99 miles per hour in the 7th. He's gone 6 starts in a row where he struck out at least 11 and walked no more than 1, which is the longest streak of all time. But one thing Chris Sale will never have is what the other's team pitcher, Bartolo Colon, had, and that is just pure sex.
Colon trying to get out of the inning. And the left center loop. Long run to Shields coming on. Sliding over gets between them. Gallo couldn't get it either. Another run is in. Here comes Bogarts into third. He'll slide in there. To Shields and Gallo crossing like ships in the night there. Unable to haul it in. It's 4-0.
Hello? Dave O'Brien, who utterly embarrassed himself in the country with his coverage of the World Cup.
Did we find that
8 years ago? We did.
Okay, we found the. Okay, I know we found the Jack Edwards World Cup stuff, which was interesting. But Cologne gave up four heavy, sweaty runs last night. He lasted six.
Big sexy.
And then just said, oh,
did you see? It was a play earlier where he got hit in the stomach with a line drive and was fine.
Yeah, what does he care?
I mean, he just got popped. It was a direct hit. He just bent over, picked up the ball, and threw it to first base.
I don't think there's a player in sports that just makes me smile when I see them just playing.
No. You, like, weren't, just, here. You just, weren't here when Rich Garces was here. If you were here when Guapo was here, you would have gotten the same feeling.
Oh, I know.
Garces wasn't as fat as Cologne or
no,
as old.
No. No, he was neither of those two things, but he was like the first step towards that.
Is Cologne 40?
I'm thinking
of
over 40.
Okay, that's what I thought. That's what I thought. He's like, he's
Cologne's older than me.
He's such an anomaly. I mean, he's fat and he's old and he can still pitch.
I'm betting Garces looks exactly like Cologne, but back then he was like Cologne Jr. Fans loved him.
It's the best. I mean, it's like I just smile when I see him on the mound. Well, either way.
Cologne's 45, by the way.
Well, he's 45.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, for the less attractive of the two pitchers, Chris Sale, Alex Cora knows that he is seeing something special out of him.
Outstanding again. It looked like, you know, the first few innings, a few foul balls, and the pitch count was getting up, but then he turned it up a notch. That sixth inning, forget about the strikeouts, that double play, that was good to see. Under control, solid throw to second, and Xander turned a great double play.
We were talking, Fred, at the beginning of the year about how Alex Cora was going to save Sale for later in the year. He'd take him out after only 95 pitches. He's thrown 12 fewer innings than at this point last year. And that doesn't sound like much, but that's two starts worth.
Right.
He's throwing 99 miles an hour late into starts in the middle of July. I mean, they're saving him for September, and now he's going to get, depending upon if and when he pitches in the All-Star game, it'll be an inning, you know, 8 to 10 days off before his next start. I mean, they've managed him perfectly this year.
You have to. Falls apart at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Apparently, Eck, I'm being told, had a nickname for Chris Sale during this double play.
Ground ball. Sale has it. To Bogaerts. Runs. A shot right back at him. He's a cat.
He's a cat.
He's a cat.
Meow,
hound.
Meow.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, what does Kitty Litter James Stewart think of this?
I'm a cat. For real, though.
Oh. Okay, you're a real cat, Kitty Litter James Stewart.
Yeah.
What are you doing right now?
Peeing in his feathered hair.
Okay. See, but that's probably not a good place to do it.
Meow, meow.
Yes.
I'm marking my territory. Hey, I just peed in the litter box. Now I'm going to jump in bed and get all the crystals on you.
The kitty litter crystals.
So not just pee in X hair.
I have a urinary tract infection. I have to go to the bathroom in your bathtub.
Okay.
That's kind of weird.
Or in the grate in the bathroom where the air conditioning comes out.
Oh, into the vent. Okay.
It sounds disgusting.
Get that smell for a while.
Oh, that's just what's happening in my house right now.
Okay, I understand.
Don't give me a shot.
Well, hopefully they won't have to. But one person who is marking his territory as well would be the fro himself, Dan Shaughnessy.
Hey, this is Dan Shaughnessy's hair. Dan Shaughnessy's hair.
Hi, my name is Dan Shaughnessy.
And I have one question.
One question.
Do you know the fro?
Do you know the fro?
Do you know the fro?
Well, somebody who does know the fro now would be the one and only David Price. After a little back and forth in the locker room yesterday, he went down there shaking his fro and his pen.
Or taking the pen out of his fro.
What's that?
David Price takes his pen and throws it in Shaughnessy and says, "Do not so fast."
He goes, it just sticks right at the top of it.
It's like a standoff.
Yeah. Or that it bounces off.
No, he just keeps picking them out of his fro.
Oh, yeah? Watch this.
Yeah.
And then he pulls out like a full submarine sandwich. Time for lunch.
And pudding.
Pudding.
No, just dessert.
Oh, okay. Pudding.
No, he hits the sandwich. He eats it, and then he pulls out pudding in a spoon.
Is your Fenway fluff? Yes, that's right. And he just keeps grabbing it.
Wobble, wobble.
Yeah. Okay. Well, is there some for the rest of us? Yes. Just a whole picnic basket.
That's how he seduced his wife. She's like, what are we doing at the top of this mountain? He just shook his hair out.
Whoosh.
And a picnic blanket and a basket came out. But well, how are we going to open this wine?
I wish my salad had croutons. Voila.
Would the madame like some crushed pepper?
So Dan Shaughnessy and his
whole dangerous situation.
Never-ending throw of treasures
came
down to talk to David Price. And this is from his article this morning. He said, I had a quick back and forth with my main man, David Price, in his locker room. Here's how it went. Me. You said that you were searching after that bad outing in Kansas City the other night. Did you find what you were looking for? Price? Yup. Can you tell me what you learned? Nope. Is it mechanical? Yup. How did you end up hitting three guys in one inning? There we go. Now we're getting to the good stuff.
You want to play hardball? Yeah, yeah, let's go.
You give the fro one word answers. He's going to hit a fro maker just like. So the answer to that was, I tried to make sure I got the ball in. I just got it too far in. And then Shaughnessy says, how do you feel about facing the Yankees again later this year? David Price answered, I feel great moving forward for the rest of the season and facing the Yankees again, whenever that may be. That's a team I've pitched against a lot in my career, probably more than against any team in the big leagues, maybe with the exception of Toronto. I've pitched against both of them a lot, and I've had some bad games against the Yankees a few times. I gave up 9 straight hits against them when I was in Detroit in 2015. 9 straight hits. No walks, no sack flies, no hit by pitches, 9 straight knocks.
Why didn't the manager come get him after the first 6 or 7?
Leland was just too busy
smoking, ripping butts.
Maybe it's time to get him out of there.
Well, John, as he continues, goes, have you been able to tune out the noise around you here in Boston? And David Price says, yes, I'm still not a subscriber to whatever papers there are. I don't know the last time I've listened to FM or AM radio. Okay, cool. Then Shaughnessy gives a little plug to the station. He goes, have you heard the guy who does a killer impression of you on the Sports Hub?
Oh.
David Price says no. And he goes, Shaughnessy continues, he goes, I know you talked to John Morosi of MLB.com a little bit about this. Any chance you could opt out of your contract with the Red Sox at the end of this year? David Price says, I'm not going to sit here and say there's 0% chance when there's always a chance of anything. But that's not nothing I'm always thinking about or putting any thought to or talking to anyone else about. I expect to win, and I expect to do that here. Shaughnessy says, how do you feel about playing here? Price says, I don't have a problem with it. I need to go out and pitch better. Shaughnessy says, but it seems like you hate it here. Do you hate Boston? I really love Shaughnessy, I do. And David Price answers, I've never said I've hated Boston or had a problem with the fans. That's a perception that's put on me through you guys in the media. That's what it is. That's what that is. It's like when we were in Minnesota and I said I wasn't deserving of being an all-star and didn't think I should be an all-star, and then all that crap got put out. I don't even know what he's talking about there.
Yeah, I don't know.
It turns into that. So write what you want to write. And then Shaughnessy finishes by saying, do you ever wish you signed somewhere else? And David Price says, no.
I remember the all-star conversation.
What was that?
It was...
What did they turn it into?
He was trying to be funny and failing. They asked him, are you going to make the all-star team? And he's like, well, you know, Sale will make it. I probably won't make it. That's what he was saying. And then the media turned it into, this is how Price sees it. The media turned it into, well, he's just being negative. You know, he's coming off as a douche. The whole thing. It's more the same.
Well, Price didn't seem to be bad there. I mean,
No, he didn't. He actually answered the questions pretty straightforward. I mean, well... He didn't at first, and then Shaughnessy decided to get started, and then Price kind of opened up a little bit. But no, I didn't think he wasn't overly aggressive towards Dan at all.
No. Fro bro.
But I don't believe that he doesn't read any of the papers. And he doesn't
listen to the radio.
I believe he doesn't read the paper, because no one does. But I would imagine that he...
Online even? No?
I just like that... Jim Murray's impression is apparently supposed to have affected things dramatically around here.
Is that the sound? I didn't realize I had
the
sound effect of
pulling a bottle of wine out of his head.
No, that's when he's just like on the train and he's in a hurry.
Whoosh.
I Have we really convinced ourselves that Jim Murray's impression of David Price has driven him insane?
You know what? I thought that Beadle told me that he had spoken to a reporter that it was admitted to him. Yeah, maybe. You're probably right. I'm glad that on our last day on TV, they got that. That hand gesture.
I had one hand gesture earlier, you remember, and they pixelated it out. I wonder if they just did the same thing for you, Fred.
They didn't have to. It couldn't mean anything.
Maybe we are kind of stroking our own egos.
Yeah, I talked to a reporter, too. They said, told me lots of things.
Maybe you're right.
Wobble, wobble. Price, very offended by the impression.
Maybe. that sound effect is the best. Where's the...
Maybe we should do Know the Fro again.
I mean, it was really... I thought that at the time... you and I might have been the only people who liked it when it happened, but the more I listened to it, the better it gets.
Yeah.
Just whereas Dan Shaughnessy's Fro in all sorts of major moments in sports history.
Maybe it could just be like in American history, like, you know, when Aaron Burr and Hamilton got in the duel.
Just like
the first shot, like hit his fro and that stuck. Ultimately, ended in Hamilton's death.
That's when the bullet went through his fro. The sound that it made as it cut right through.
Yeah, you could be there at many.
Okay.
He was there at D-Day, and it wasn't supposed to, not D-Day, he was there when they dropped the atomic bomb, but it was supposed to hit somewhere else, but it bounced off his furrow.
I was the classiest carrot top in the press box. So fluffy.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, we should probably do that again.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Okay, what do we have coming up there, Rich?
Danny Ainge spoke to the media yesterday for the first time about what's going on with Marcus Smart. We will get to that, and he also answers some other Celtics questions as well.
All right, here are the headlines.
98.5, the Sports Hub, Kutcher and Rich.
We are Kutcher and Rich. Rich, what else is going on?
Just when we were getting excited about having some sort of answer to the Marcus Smart situation, now we're hearing, stick around for a while. This may take a little bit. Because apparently, Marcus Smart, all these suitors like the Kings and things that have come towards him, they've cooled a little bit. Now, there are some teams who apparently have been speaking with him. The Nets, I know, was somebody who had an interest in him, as well as Sacramento, and there's still always Danny sitting there, and his agent, Happy something. I know his first name's Happy. Is like
Nerlens Noel's former agent that got him that fantastic.
Oh, that was great. That's just smart. Who I want.
Well, he said something the day before yesterday, Marcus Smart's agent, that was, he's not asking for much. He's not really, you know, trying. He's not asking for the moon, I think was what he said. You know, he'll probably take anything under $15 million. What kind of agent says that?
Yeah, I know.
Like, I'm going to put a cap on what people might be willing to give him.
The agent seems like he's not good.
No. Like, he's in over his head.
Nerlens Noel's situation. It cost Nerlens Noel tens of millions of dollars.
Yeah, so this has been very strange. Now, one thing that we are hearing is that the Celtics still possibly would consider giving him the offer that they apparently made him in the middle of the season, and that was speculated to be about 4 years at $11 million per, and they're even saying that they might even go up to $12 million. And they're just waiting for Marcus Smart to come to them with any kind of sheet that's close to that from another team, because if they don't, they're just going to pay the $6 million.
Why do that if you don't have to at this point, with the Celtics so close to luxury tax? Why would you do that?
No, they're not going to.
Well, they might do the 4 years, $11 million. 4 years of $11 million, I think, would actually be a pretty decent idea to sign them to that.
I would give them a qualifying offer, and I would say, learn to shoot, and then you'll make your money.
If you pay him $6 million and he has the exact same season as he just had last year, minus the injuries, if he's healthy all year but still doesn't shoot, we ran the numbers, he is far and away the worst shooting point guard in the NBA. Yes.
But however,
not even close to second worst.
And he only fits with a team that's like the Celtics, a team that's a winning team. You can't bring him on to a garbage team.
I keep going back to Andre Roberson, who was a very good defensive point, a very good defensive guard for Oklahoma, makes $10 million a year. And why would you extend yourself out much further than that? He is an otherworldly defender, but you have to be able to score the basketball
a little
bit.
You guys keep saying it's got to be for contender. Look at these teams that are apparently have interest in him.
Sacramento and the Nets.
Well, Sacramento apparently doesn't have an interest in him. Well,
no, it depends on who you talk to.
But either way, they've had conversations. And the teams that seem to have the most heat on him, and once again, his agent's probably leaking all of this, and his agent seems like a maniac, so who knows what the hell is going on.
But if
you are to believe that those are the two teams that have been speaking with him, and I know there's people out in Vegas who have seen, I guess, the representatives together,
then
it doesn't have to be a contender. And it's weird because I can't understand the logic either way.
If I'm the agent, I mean, the Brooklyn thing is just that they were seen together.
Yeah, you keep hearing rumors now about sign and trade. I got to believe that's the agent, too. I mean, that's what I was reading yesterday.
I mean, if I'm in Vegas at Summer League games and I position myself next to someone from the Brooklyn organization, listen, Brooklyn could sign today. But the fact that they were seen talking to each other does not mean a lot to me.
Sure. You're right. And I think right now anyone's just trying to figure out what the hell's going to happen. So any kind of meeting that you have with Marcus Smart and somebody, then you're going to write about it. But this is Danny Ainge, however, talking about Marcus Smart. He was asked about the situation yesterday out in Vegas.
Yeah, there's guys that we're looking. We're all here watching all the teams play in the summer league and watching different guys work out. But, you know, our priority remains the same. Our priority is still Marcus, free agency, and that's where we are.
And I know that Marcus Smart, according to reports, once again, was pissed with the Celtics. And he has no reason to be. If you're the Celtics, you just sit there until somebody gives you something substantial that you can either match, say yes, or say no to. And at this point, it's like, what do you want Danny to do? They're sitting on their hands right now just going, you let us know, Marcus. We'll be here waiting for you. And when you are, we will make a decision. And on top of that, you've got two players who are both rehabbing, Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward. And Danny Ainge was asked about whether or not they are going to be ready to go when the season starts.
Doing great. Yeah, both of them sound very optimistic and sound healthy. And they're, you know, getting out on the court. Should be playing full court basketball by the time they get back to Boston sometime in August.
Well, that is good to know, but as we know, everything can change.
Nope, not this time.
Not this time.
Nope.
See, I'm not worried about
Kyrie's
going to
be perfect.
Hayward.
Gordon Hayward's going to be perfect. Celtics are going to win. How many games did you say? 72, 73?
I said 68.
No, you didn't.
My last number was 68.
Oh, I see. After I brought you down from 72 or 73.
No, I started at 70.
No.
And then I went to 60.
I think the exact number you said was 75, but that's okay.
I might have said 82.
Yeah. I'm glad I was able to get you back to 68.
I've gone down to 68. Got it to 68.
Well, good for both of us.
Yeah,
okay.
So, but now that they've got Daniel Tice back and Aaron Baines, I would say maybe we can go back up to 70. So we'll
okay.
see. But they were also asked about what was his opinion of LeBron leaving the East? And after he did a silent fist pump about 15 times, he said this.
What are your thoughts when LeBron James leaves the Eastern Conference and just kind of the run he put together going to the finals 8 straight times?
I'm not sure what you're asking.
Like what was your reaction?
What do I care about the Eastern Conference? I don't really care about that. You know, we're trying to win championships, and you know, you still have to play LeBron. And I think that there's a lot of good teams in the East that get undersold a little bit. I think Washington and Milwaukee's an up-and-coming team, and Toronto was the best team in the conference last year during the regular season, and I think they're a fantastic team. So the East is going to be tough.
Uh-oh. Washington's Uh-oh. Done. Washington's Uh-oh. Done.
Bulletin board material for Philadelphia. Not a mention of the 76ers there. Bulletin board material. Look out!
Did you see that video of Joel Embiid and Jason Tatum?
Yes, I did.
I mean, first of all, those are Joel Embiid's one of my favorite players in the NBA. He's quickly become that way. Not only is he a great trash talker, but he's an absolute monster. There was one play, it's the final one that's on there, where Joel Embiid is near the three-point line with Jason Tatum, and he does this thing that just absolutely breaks his ankles, yet Embiid still finds a way to somehow just fill the sky with his hand, and it's a fall-away jumper three-point shot, and he hits it right over his head. I mean, it's
amazing.
Those two are going to be fun to watch for a long, long
time. Especially if Embiid can actually get in any kind of physical shape. All right, what are we going to talk about?
Hey, it was a lot of soccer fun yesterday. A lot of happy Irish this morning.
Yeah, I went out and I watched them in that game until I got real bored. we will have that for you.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, what else is going on?
And they are still drinking with happiness in the bars of Brighton this morning.
Give him the space and time to play this in. Walker able to stab it up in the air. Tripping around to it by Perisic. Mandzukic got there and scores!
All right, are England fans like what the Cubs fans used to be before they won the World Series? Like, they enjoy being the lovable losers? Because
no,
everything I'm reading,
I don't think they enjoy it at all.
I watch.
Okay. I mean, is this
any fun?
It's
with
funny.
This.
I went out and I went to the station yesterday, and then I had to do a bunch of other stuff. So I went to a bar to watch some of the game until it became excruciatingly boring, and I left. But there were all these, like, English fans, and then there was just one Croatian guy that was just going, no. Like, the English fans would go, okay, no. And that was, like, the whole thing that was going on there.
And what was he saying at the end?
Yes.
I didn't stick around.
He was gone.
I mean, it was so boring. And then, because England scored right away, and everyone went nuts, and then, except the Croatian guy who just went, no. And then the second half started, and I realized that I had not a care in the world of who won that game.
Like I'm reading these articles, or an article from the BBC right now, and it's just like, I just skip right into the middle of it, and it says, here's one of the paragraphs. There's a lot of looking after others in this aftermath. Parents have to find words for inconsolable children. They remember their own parents trying to do the same for them and floundering. The future is used to be great balm for today's pain. This is a young team. They'll be better for this. They'll be stronger in 2 years and 4 years' time. And it just makes me think of those dumb articles that were always coming out about the Cubs and Cubs fans, almost like they enjoy this. Because I guess that's their thing, like they've blown it. I'm learning all about
Red Sox fans. I keep going back to Red Sox fans. They were exactly the same way.
Well, all I know is that England won in a shootout one of these games, and before the shootout, they showed, like, the great, like,
it was a quarterfinals.
Mistakes.
I saw the whole thing.
Yeah,
yes,
the big
that's
mistakes
right.
that yep. they had made, yep. including uniforms with collars.
Yes,
at one point,
it's like rugby.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's almost like rugby.
I'll tell you what, the star though for Croatia is a handsome man.
I gotta Google it. I gotta Google his name. It's is it Mario?
The guy who scored is Mario Mandzukic.
That's it, Mandzukic.
Yes,
yeah. Like the little guy.
No, Mandzukic is a bigger guy. No, I know what you're talking about. The guy with the big nose. No, that's not him.
No,
I know what you're talking about.
He just faked being hurt the entire end of the game.
The guy you're talking about looks like he got beat up a lot in high school. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, he's like about 5'1".
That's right.
He looks like he was in the Scorpions.
And he's the best player in the country. Yes. That's right. Yes. I know what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, he looks like he was in the Scorpions. Like, he's old, and apparently that he didn't want to play anymore, and then they brought him back.
So, Sunday afternoon, you got yourself a big one. France versus Croatia in the final. 11 a.m.
Red and white checkerboard shirts for everybody.
That is a drinking at brunch type of game. So there you go. 11 a.m.
Especially in Loudoun County, Tennessee, where I'll be. That's going to be the...
Go down to Cotton Eye Joe's.
And, I would like to see what the TV ratings would be, and can they get to single digits? I'm just wondering if there were going to be five people in the whole state that turned the TV on and watched that.
I wouldn't even... I honestly couldn't tell you where you could go to watch that game.
Certainly not anyone's house.
Throughout the Knoxville area. Like, I don't know of a place that would be... I'm sure there's one, but I don't know off the top of my head. I can't think of any place that would be open and showing that game.
Okay, so this is also being done... Like, the game is being played on Bastille Day. Is Bastille Day, because I'm an uncultured jerk, is that kind of like the 4th of July? Can you kind of... Are the celebrations
listen
in
to
France
the Rush song.
About as big as kind of like the 4th of July?
Listen to the Rush song.
So needless to say, if France wins, there are going to be some pretty unbelievable videos out there of people losing their minds. Because the English ones were the best so far. The English winning, those have been the best. They've been the U2 sensations. They've been the Philadelphia Eagles fans of the World Cup. So I'm assuming that if France wins, that city's going to go crazy. Although it will be funny if it's Bastille Day and they lose, and then they still have to launch off fireworks.
Doesn't Rush
it's the day
have
after
a song?
Bastille Day? Okay.
Doesn't Rush have a song called Bastille Day?
I don't know that.
I don't remember.
Some early stuff, man. If it is,
it's off of whatever that the Strings of Gold or whatever the third album.
Temples of Sphinx or whatever it's called.
That's 2112.
What was the album before 2112?
Oh, jeez, man.
I don't know.
It's called, like, Something Gold.
Okay. Mm. It was Fly By Night, A Bunch of Garbage, and then Moving Pictures.
Yeah.
Except for Hemispheres. Very difficult to play.
If it wasn't on Roll the Bones, I don't careth for it.
Andrew, you are in Australia.
What's up, man?
Yeah, you can tell you're not too bad.
Sorry, man.
All right, so he was going to complain about us not being on TV. Again, get the 98.5 The Sports Hub app, and you can listen to the show as it is meant to be consumed.
Even in Australia, that's right.
Even in Australia, no matter where you are, around the world.
It's the best app we've ever been involved with, like with the show. Like, it runs the smoothest.
Seriously, it's literally hands-off. You download the app and pow, there it is. You don't have to do nothing.
You don't know how many times we got complaints about, like, an app we were on, and they're like, it runs the same commercial 48 times when you guys are on a commercial break, and that is not this app. It is
perfect.
What you hear on the air is what you hear on the app.
Yep.
The guy from Croatia looks like a troll.
Do you have his name? I have to see this.
Spell his name.
I don't know. He's the biggest star on the team. He's the star.
I don't know. I didn't watch a second of it yesterday.
So put star of Croatia. I mean, he's a little guy. He's the captain. And he does all the corner kicks.
Well, what'd you say? Dan O'Brien, of course, has the answer.
Dan, I don't know.
Is it Luka Modric?
He's the guy who looks like a troll.
Yeah, with the long hair.
I put in Croatian soccer star, him. And the first person that comes up is a woman.
No, it's not this
it's
guy.
Luka Modric.
Yeah, it's not the guy that they're showing.
Okay.
No, it's the guy who...
He's right. I looked up a picture of Luka Modric. It's him.
Luka Modric.
I wouldn't even know how to spell that. I'll try.
M-O-D-R-I-C.
Oh, there it is. Okay, let's see.
Yeah, he's in
Oh, my goodness! Have you been hiding under thy bridge? Answer me these questions three from the
O'Brien.
Other side, you see.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you know he's in a Scorpions cover band in Croatia.
He does look... You know what he does? He looks like the love child of like Geddy Lee and Hoggle, the evil orc from Labyrinth.
Okay.
Hoggle was the one who helped Jennifer Connelly through the deadly Labyrinth away from David Bowie and spandex.
I never saw the movie.
You ever saw Labyrinth?
No.
Yeah, that's right. You were 40 when it came out.
It doesn't matter. I think that's an ageless kind of feeling.
David Bowie in it?
I know, but...
That was like, that's one
I don't
movies.
Think I'm alone in this,
okay,
is it, what I'm saying.
There was a period of time in the 80s where there were these kids' movies that were genuinely mortifyingly, terrifying. Mm-hmm. That, like, I think back...
Labyrinth!
Labyrinth, the Dark Crystal, all from the effed up mind of Jim Henson after he dropped a lot of acid. Return to Oz. Did you ever see the sequel to The Wizard of Oz?
No.
There is an article that somebody made about how that might be the most terrifying, scarring movie for a child to watch ever. Dude, it's a nightmare. The bad guys are all of these, like, they look like heroin dealers, and their hands are wheels, and they ride around like giant horses.
Oh, so they decided to kick it up a notch after the carefree Wizard of Oz.
You know, there's a Sesame Street that they don't play anymore, and it's the Wicked Witch of the West is on it.
Mm. Oh, yeah,
it's
too scary.
They will not air it anymore. It aired once, and they won't air it again.
Dude, there's a scene in The Neverending Story where this, you know, the guy, Bastion, is on his horse, and he goes into the Swamp of Sadness, and the horse just sits there and slowly sinks into the sand and, like, dies in front of him. And he's, like, winning for his life. That's a movie that's made for, like, seven-year-olds.
Oh, boy.
There you go. All right. There is your story about fringe science fiction films. City councils around the world. Have people that go to public libraries and things of that nature. We will visit one of those. No commercials here, just the headlines.